Piccadilly, Ezra Perek Mem Hei. We're holding in the middle of the parak, talking about the story of the Egel Azov. So last week we saw that they asked Chur to help them out, and Chur gave them a big mussar, they killed him off. And then they asked Aaron, and Aaron was sort of scared about what they did to Chur, so he decided he's going to sort of play a trick and pretend like he's going to cooperate with them and then try to wean them away from doing Avodah Zarah. And then we said what he told them to get the earrings from the women, and the women didn't want to do that. So now what do they do? And then we talked about because the women didn't want to give their earrings, so they got zchus of Rosh Chodesh, etc. That was the whole last week. So now what happens after the women didn't want to give their earrings? Says the Medrash, Ro'u ha'anashim shleishamu ha'anashim lahem liten izmeun lavalehen. The men saw that the women didn't listen to them to give their earrings to their husbands. Me'osu. So what did the men do? Until that moment, the earrings were also on the ears of the men. Like the Egyptians do, and like the Arabs do. For some reason, the Radal says that the Arabs got this custom from the Egyptians. I'm not sure why he says that, but that's what the Radal says, like that, the Pshat and the Medrash. He says, as opposed to all other nations, where usually only women wear earrings and men don't wear earrings. That's in LA, it's different, right? Mm. Nowadays. And pirates, right. So what did the men do? Parku es nizmehem asher ba'aznehem v'nosen la'aron. So the men removed the earrings which were on their ear, and they gave them to Aaron. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, "Vayisparkul kol ha'am es nizmei azav asher ba'aznehem." The entire nation, kol ha'am, removed the earring, the golden earrings, asher ba'aznehem, which is on their ears. Asher ba'aznei nishayhem ein ksiv kan. It doesn't say which was on the ears of their wives, right? Which would mean to say that like they forcibly took off their wives' earrings, even though their wives didn't listen. No, that's not what they did. Ela asher ba'aznehem. Rather, which is on their ears. They took off the earrings from upon their ears, and that's what they're going to give for the construction of the eagle.
Is that a drasha on the word kol? Meaning the pashtus is the women, and the kol is coming to say... No, it was actually the men, because normally kol means everybody.
I think what it seems to be is that the drasha is on the word aznehem.
Because
it's in male form. But I think it's more complicated than that, because in the diktuk of Lashon HaKodesh, when you have male and female together in plural, so you just say you just use the male plural form. So let's say kol meant it was all the men and the women together. They all took off their earrings, right? And the pasuk is reporting that. So it would say aznehem in male form, even though it's also referring to women. So I'm not sure exactly what the drasha is.
Just said that the women didn't
right, fine.
So I'm asking what the kol is.
Yeah.
The kol normally is a riboy. Here it's just, it doesn't mean it.
No. Fine. Umotza Aaron ben hanizamim tzitz shel zahav. And Aaron found amongst these golden earrings, he found a tzitz shel zahav, a plate of gold. Shekosov lov shem ha-kodesh, which was written upon that plate of gold, the holy name of Hashem. V'choros alav tzuras egel, and it was engraved on that golden plate the form of a calf. V'oyse levad hishech b'kur shel eish, and only that golden plate is what Aaron threw into the fire. He didn't throw all the gold that he gathered. He just threw that thing into the fire. Shneema, it says in the pasuk that Aaron told them that you should gather all the Nizmei Hazav Hashem Baznei Nishchem Menachem Menei Seichem Vayit Nuli, and you should give it to me. They will give it to me. You will give it to me. Vashlichem Bo Eish, and I will throw them in the fire. Inksiv Kan. It doesn't say I will throw them in the fire. Vashlichehu Bo Eish. I will throw it into the fire. Why does it say in plural, in singular form, I will throw it, as if Aaron is saying, I'm going to throw one thing into the fire. He should say, I'm going to throw multiple things into the fire. Rather, from here, it's telling you that Aaron threw specifically, he threw that tzitz shel zahav that had the name of Hashem and a picture of an eagle on it. That's what he threw into the fire, and that's what's really going to make all the problems of here. So Stam isn't sort. If you're paying attention, it's not like Rashi and Chumash, because Rashi and Chumash says who threw the tzitz shel zahav into the fire. Rashi says that Micha did it.
Micha, that will be
the Micha from the Pesel Micha. So Rashi and Chumash says that he's the one who threw that into the fire. Mm-hmm. And here the Medrash says that Aaron and Kohen did it. And there's another.
Sukkim also.
There's what? What?
Sukkim seems to say that Aaron threw something in the.
That's true. Mm-hmm. There is a mashmos, but we don't really see the Pesukim beferish that it talks about this tzitz shel zahav anyways.
Yeah.
It says that Aaron was involved. It doesn't really say anything about the tzitz shel zahav.
No, he wrapped up the gold into something and out came an angel.
Right, Vayatzer or Seba Cheret. But that's on that pasuk of Vayatzer or Seba Cheret, that's where Rashi says that Michal is the one that threw it in. That's where Rashi says that it was Michal that did it. The Zohar also the Sefer Chemdes Yomim on Chumash, they say that it was the sons of Bilam that did it. Not Aaron, not Michal, but the sons of Bilam. I forgot their names. I wrote it down. I think their names are like Yuchni and Yuzbi or something like that. I don't remember their names.
They were part of the Erev Rav?
Yeah, that's what it seems. They were part of the Erev Rav. Hmm. Maybe even the leaders of the Erev Rav. So Radal asks a question. Radal asks, why did Aaron Kohen do this? What was he thinking? It's like, if you understand that Micha did it, and if you understand that, like we were speaking about, what we spoke about last week, they were doing an eagle as a way of imitating Egyptian Avodah Zarah, the Apis bull or whatever, so then we can understand why they would do that. That was part of what they were trying to do, to create an Egyptian Avodah Zarah. But if Aaron was trying to like get them away from Avodah Zarah, so what was, why specifically did he throw in this tzitz shel zahav that had the shem of mefarish on it and it had a picture of an eagle? Like, what was he trying to do with this eagle thing? So there's Ramban of Chumash that basically explains that the eagle, that Aaron specifically made a form of an eagle because he wanted it to be corresponding to the eagle on the shore of the Merkava, of the Kisei Kavod, which apparently has some sort of protection over like desert areas or whatever, so it represents Hashem protecting over desert areas, so that's why Aaron Dafka wanted it to be an eagle, something like that. That's what Ramban says. Yeah. So Radal says like that, so that's why Aaron Dafka threw that into the fire, because he knew something was going to come about from that. But yes, the Radal says a big kasha. He says, I don't understand. We have a pasuk, we have a halacha, right? The halacha says like this. It's learned out from Sukkim and Parshas Re'eh. It says in Parshas Re'eh, it says, "Mnit hatstemetz bezbechoisom." You should break their what's it called, their altars. Vishi baitemetz matzevoisom, and you should smash their altars, different types of altars. Vasherehem tisrefun be'esh, and you should burn their asheros of silei lehem tegadeyun, and you should disfigure their idols. Vibadetem eshmam, and you should erase their names. Mina malkei mahu. Don't do so to Hashem your God. And from here, Chazal tells us there's an iser to erase the name of Hashem. First, by Avodah Zarah, v'ibadatam shmam. You should destroy, get rid of their names, make lost their names. But by Hashem, there's an iser of erasing the name of Hashem. So the question is, how is it that Aaron HaKohen was able to throw this into the fire, this tzitz that has the name of Hashem on it, is effectively erasing the name of Hashem by throwing it into the fire? Yeah, you hear the question?
I hear the question, but the obvious answer is he's doing it l'shem shemayim, and so too by a sota.
Well, one second. First of all, there's alternate versions of this medrash where Rashi and Chumash brings it that the tzitz shel zohav didn't have the name of Hashem on it, but it said alei shor, alei shor. That was the piece of parchment or gold or whatever that Moshe Rabbeinu threw into the water to get the Aron of Yosef to come up. But here we said that it has the Shem of Kodesh. So it was only a problem according to Pirkei Deh Eliezer. It's not a problem according to the parallel Midrashim that bring this story.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, so the Radal asks the question. How did he throw it into, it's going to be erased, effectively erasing the name of Hashem? So Radalis has two answers. First of all, he says, sort of what you're saying, that he's doing L'shem Shemayim. We find in the Gemara, in the Shabbos, other places, the Gemara says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his name to be erased for the sake of Shalom Bayis, right? By Saita, you're allowed to take write down Parsha Saita on a parchment, and then you put it in the water and allow it to be erased just to make peace between man and his wife. So it says, Kol Shekein, if you're trying to save Bnei Yisrael from like utter destruction, if they do Avodah Zarah, you know, they'll be mamish destroyed or whatever. So Aaron was trying to somehow save them from doing Avodah Zarah. So he reasoned that it would be allowed for him to do what he's doing, and that'll save them from an Isser. That'll save them from doing real Avodah Zarah somehow. That's one answer. The second answer is like this. He says, that brings from the Arizal in Likutei Torah and Parshas Kisiso and in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, that apparently the Arizal says that which name of Hashem was written on this golden plate. So the Arizal says that it was the 72 letter name of Hashem. Now, if you look it's a Gemara in Shavuos, but it's brought in Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, in your Adea Simin Reish Ayin Vav, so the Mechaber over there talks about the seven names of Hashem that can't be erased. There's only seven names of Hashem that you're not allowed to erase. And the 72 letter name is not one of those seven. So you could say that the name of it, he says, Avada, it's also midrabanan to erase any name of Hashem. At least rabanan. Right? Midrabanan would be mutter, midrabanan would be aser. But over here in this case, you know, it would be mutter even midrabanan because you're trying to save Bnei Yisrael.
I thought it was no Torah yet. It was coming down the mountain.
Okay. No, but they already accepted the Torah by Shavuos. Now we're holding, you know, a little bit over a month later.
They didn't get the Torah.
No, they got it on Shavuos.
Moshe came down the mountain.
They didn't get the physical Luchos yet. They didn't get the Luchos, but they got the Torah.
I thought that meant nothing came down. The Torah and the Luchos were coming.
What did Hashem say to them by on Shavuos, by Har Sinai? He said over the Aseret Dibros. So
that's it.
What?
I always had a question, but when would the Ramban and his Hakdamat Sefer Bereishis explains either the Torah was given at that time or
throughout
the Arbaim Shana?
Throughout the 40 years, each thing was given at its proper time.
That's
the Shalik Gemara in Gittin and Daf Samach. The Gemara is Machlekes from Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish of Megillah. Megillah Nitna or Kula B'Sha'achas.
Yeah, but either way, it wasn't right then and there, all of it, and they knew all of it, no? Or
I don't know. I'm not sure. When did they become Meshuba to listen to all the halachas? He's saying the Lois Asun Kain is in Parshas Re'eh when Sefer Devarim. So Sefer Devarim happened later.
Yeah.
I hear.
And even then, you can answer. They heard everything.
No, but they say that everything was really said by Har Sinai, and just certain things were repeated again later on in the Torah, but really was originally given by Har Sinai.
But then the question is still when.
There's a piece from the Chazon Ish, a whole long piece about this, in the Chazon Ish in Or Chaim. I think it's after Maseches Yoma. He has like a whole piece, like trying to like figure out exactly each set of halachas, like when was it given, or whatever. Maybe if you look over there, he'll shed some light on it. Al-Kopanim, so that's the answer he wants to say, that because it's not one of seven names of Hashem, it's not allowed to be erased, so he was allowed to throw it into the fire to erase it. The Mechaber over there says, that it's not clear if the Shem Aleph Hey Yud Hey is one of those seven names. So last week I mentioned the name of Hashem of Aleph Hey Yud Hey, and somebody after the shir told me that it could be that I'm not supposed to say that name or not. The MS is, first of all, for your Derech Limud, it could be it's Mutar anyways. Like the Sfaradim, you know, they'll quote half a pasuk and say Hashem's name, because that when you're in the middle of learning or you're giving a drush or whatever, you're allowed to say it. So it's not like Stam saying the name of Hashem. But also the Mechaber over there, there's two pshatim in the Mechaber. If that name of Hashem is taka one of the names that it's not erasable, so it would be the same. It would be the same halacha. If you're allowed to erase that name, so then you're allowed to stop and say it. But I've heard other people say like Eheke or Ekya or something like that. Fine, weiter. So Aaron HaKohen sent this golden plate, put it into the fire, and what happens? Vayetze ha'egel hazeh goya. And this calf came out goya. What does goya mean? Rashi in Chulin, Adaf Nun Gimel, Omer Aleph, Rashi says that there's a very interesting feature of Lashon HaKodesh, that every animal in Lashon HaKodesh, the sound that that animal makes, has its own, there's its own word. Like in English, we say you know, donkeys bray, horses neigh, and donkeys bray. Right? There's a different word for the sound that a horse makes and the sound that a donkey makes. So too in Lashon HaKodesh, it's the same thing. Different types of animals, each one has a different. So, you know, goya means maybe like moo, because we're talking about a cow, right? So goya means that the cow came out and it was mooing. Or Rashi over there just says tzayik. Rashi in Chulin says tzayik. It was crying or calling out. Rashi says that when it says about a lion, it says ari noyhem. So that's also when ari, before it eats, it's shayeg, and after it eats, it's noyhem. Whatever that means. Shayeg means to roar, and noyhem means whatever the other sound that a lion makes that's not roaring. It's like cooing, sort of. So Rashi gives examples of all the different animals. Rashi and Chulin gives examples of different animals, how each one has its own word in Lashon HaKodesh. Al Kaponim, the calf comes out and it's making its noise, mooing or cooing or whatever. V'ra'olai say Yisrael, and Kal Yisrael saw the calf. Rabbi Yudah says, Samuel, Sammy, Satan, whatever, Nichnas L'Seichai, the Satan went inside the calf. V'ho'ya Goya, and he made the calf moo, L'Hasai says Yisrael, in order to make the Jews make a mistake, in order to make them stray. To confuse them, to make them think that the calf has its own powers, that it's an animate entity. Oh, you forgot to bring your sefer. The cow has some sort of its own powers. Right? Shemar says in the pasuk, Yodashar Kinehu. A shar, an ox, knows its owner. And the Radal says that the kavanah of bringing that pasuk, that's the pasuk in Yeshaya, right? We read it by Shabbos Chazayin. Yodashar Kinehu. An ox knows its owner. The Radal says that the kavana is that this ox or this calf, this cow that they made by the Egel Azov, was sort of possessed by the Satan. So Yodashar Kinehu means it knows the one who owns it. The Satan sort of possessed it. And you should know that like it wasn't really the cow, it was really the owner. It was really the Satan that was the driving force behind giving the illusion that the Egel Azov was really something. That's what the Radal says. Then Radal brings the Tanchuma. It brings this pasuk in the context of the Egel Zov in a slightly different way. It says that Yodashar Kanehu means that the shore itself knows that really it doesn't have any power. Really Hashem is the one who has the power. Meaning like the shore wasn't trying to like show off that it has powers or something. Really it was just driven by the Sultan, something like that. And really the shore knows that Hashem has the power. V'ra Yisai Kol Yisrael, all of Bnei Yisrael saw this Egel Azov, Unishakuhu, and they kissed him, V'hishtachavuloi, and they bowed down to him, V'yizbechuloi, and they offered sacrifices to it. Period. Okay, that's where we were supposed to get to last week. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Maisha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Maisha Rabbeinu, now we're switching scenes and we're going up, what's happening up in Shemayim where Maisha Rabbeinu is up on Har Sinai. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Maisha, Hashem says to Maisha, Maisha, Shachachu Yisrael es Kerech Gvurosi Shasisi Mahem B'Mitzayim Uviyam Suf. Maisha, the Jews have forgotten the power of my strength, which I did for them, all the things that I did for them in Mitzrayim and in the Yam Suf, they forgot about me. V'osu L'Hem Avodah Zarah, and they made for themselves Avodah Zarah. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Lech Reid Kishichais Amcha, go and descend because your nation has become corrupt. And we're going to see in a few minutes that the lashon of Hashchasa Shichais means specifically referring to Avodah Zarah. Is it here? I don't remember. Okay, whatever. I don't remember where it is. So somewhere we're going to see it. Might be in a different parak. I came across this recently. Where is it? Hashchasa is Lashon of Avodah Zarah. Okay, whatever. Because the Ashkhas is a lashon of Avodah Zarah, and Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to go down from the mountain because they're doing Avodah Zarah. The Radal wants to say from here, you have a raya that we spoke about last week. What were they trying to do? Were they trying to worship a separate deity, or were they trying to make an intermediary between themselves and a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So if they were trying to make an intermediary, so that our Medrash over here doesn't really make so much sense. It's like, oh, they forgot Hashem and they made Avodah Zarah. No, they were trying to get to Hashem in a different way, in an austere way, in a deviant way. But
the mitzvah mechabek could sometimes be worse than the mitzvah mafsik, huh?
What?
Sometimes the mitzvah mechabek could be worse than the mitzvah mafsik, huh? So if they're trying to use it to come closer to Hashem, it could be as worse, you know?
I don't know. Are you allowed to daven to a mitzvah mechaber?
It's also a minus, no?
What?
It's a minus, no?
What about a Rebbe? No, there's a whole shtickle. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's a whole shtickle from the Lubavitch Rebbe about davening to an Amtsoi. You know about this? Okay, we don't have to get into it. But he what does he say? What's his answer? How could you daven to a Rebbe?
I tell you, I didn't understand the word of it. I'll just say what it says. It says it's atzmos amos kivish amid that's my baguf. So instead, but it doesn't answer the question. It just makes the question bigger. So the answer is, you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
It gets me confused. The answer is given over. So some put out a sefer, which, you know, he tries to bring out that it's actually amid.
Yeah, I guess we must have seen the same sefer.
But you know what sefer I'm talking?
What?
Oh, okay. So we'll speak right after.
Anyways, what's it called? Why was I saying this? Oh, so it's not an Amtsoi. They weren't trying to make an intermediary. It sounds like they were worshipping some separate god. That's what the Radal wants to say. It's not 100% Mukhrach, but it makes a little bit more sense.
From the Pesukim, I don't know the Pesukim by heart. Sounds like it was an mediary, because they were worried that their mediary had gotten lost somewhere or had died. So they were saying we need a new mediator that will talk to God for us.
Yeah, but then they said about the Egel, Eloi Hecha Yisrael L'Sharuchem in Mitzrayim.
Yeah, that was the mediator that took us. That still could be answered.
Eloi Hecha Yisrael. How do you say that as an intermediary? I mean, you're right. There are Mefarshim that say it like that, but from the Pasha Pshat and the Pesukim, I know it's hard to say either way.
It looks like they're looking for a replacement for Moshe. I mean, it's a Zer Moshe Ish.
Yeah, they're Nochanami. It's Mashma like, from those Pesukim, it's Mashma like that.
But Moshe, they never called him Hashem, the Moshe. You don't see them calling him Hashem in the Pesukim.
Right.
So they need a new leader. Why do they turn him into Hashem? That's the question. Is, if you're looking for a
replacement. It could be that different people had different agendas in what they were doing.
The Moshe that took us out of Egypt, not God.
Right. So like, some people wanted to make him an intermediary, and then the Erev sort of took it a step further. Okay, it could be one of the Rishonim says something like that. I don't remember exactly. Okay, right there. Where are we? Amalei l'maisha leich raid kishiches amcha leich raid migdula sacha. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and descend because your nation has become corrupt. Go and descend migdulasecha from your great position. It's alluding to Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Klum nasati lacha gedula ela b'shul Yisrael, achshav Yisrael chotu ato alamali." Brachas lamed beis amid alef. As Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why you're so important, why you're so chashuv, is because of Bnei Yisrael. You're just like the leader of Bnei Yisrael. But if, you know, I'm not interested in Bnei Yisrael, they're averas, whatever, so Mimela, you automatically, you lose your important position in Kilu and Shemayim. So Lech Reid, go down. Moshe said in front of him, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, actually Chotol Lefanecha, as long as the Jews didn't sin in front of you, Hayisa Kiryasam Ami, you used to call them my nation with a capital M. Shinema, as it says the pasuk, Vahitzeisias Tivaisai Es Ami. Hashem said by the Makos, he said, I'm going to take my nation, I'm going to take my legions out of Mitzrayim. My nation. Hashem calls them my nation. V'achshav shachotu lefanecha. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues, says, now that they sin in front of you, ata omer li, you say to me, lech rei kishiches amcha, go and descend because your nation has become corrupted. Why are you calling Bnei Yisrael your nation, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, my nation, Moshe Rabbeinu's nation? You should be saying my nation, mine meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. Why did you switch it? Why, before Klal Yisrael was known as Hashem's nation, and now you're saying they're known as Moshe Rabbeinu's nation. Amcha v'nachalos l'chohem. They are your nation and they are your portion. Shemba, it says in the pasuk, v'hem amcha v'nachalos l'chohem. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu was tying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that why is he looking at Bnei Yisrael as if they belong to Moshe? That he should look at Bnei Yisrael as if he belongs to Hashem himself. Right, so the Malbim on these psukim, he uses this difference in Lashon to prove, or at least to give a raya to the pirush that Rashi brings in Chumash. The Rashi says that it was the Erev Rav. Right, so this is the Erev Rav. Bnei Yisrael is called the nation of Hashem. The Erev Rav is called the nation of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem didn't give permission to bring the Erev Rav with them. Moshe Rabbeinu on his own decided to bring the Erev Rav. So the Erev Rav are miyuchas to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're not miyuchas to Hashem. So that's what Kishiches Amcha means, your nation, meaning the Erev Rav, not all of Bnei Yisrael, because all of Bnei Yisrael is my nation. But your nation is just the Erev Rav. Our Medrash is not going with that Mahalach. Fine. Yeah. Lokach Moshe es aluchis v'haya yored. Moshe Rabbeinu took the tablets and he was coming down. Coming down the mountain. V'haya haksuvin sevlin es atzmon v'es Moshe imon. And the writing on the tablets, they were able to be soivel to carry Moshe Rabbeinu and themselves. The Mufashim said, just like we find by the Aron, that when the Aron was traveling, so the Aron was nice of. The Aron would carry the people that carry it. And when you carry the Aron, you weren't really carrying the Aron. The Aron was really carrying you. Right? So the Ksuvim on the Luchais, the writing on the Luchais, was carrying itself, and it was carrying Moshe Rabbeinu with it. Uchashira'u es hatupim v'esamacholais v'es ha'egel. And when the writing on the luchais saw the musical instruments and the dancing and the egel, what was its reaction? Borchu haksuvim uporchu min haluchais. The writing on the luchais ran away and they flew off from the luchais. We'll see what happened after that. But they ran away and flew off the luchais. We're trying, Benson, the Radal says that we're trying to justify how is it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to throw the luchais down. Right? If we have the same problem we had like 10 minutes ago. You're erasing the Shem Hashem. So as Moshe Rabbeinu, now Moshe Rabbeinu is erasing the name of Hashem. So the answer is no, because before Moshe Rabbeinu threw the luchas down, the writing on the luchas disappeared. So he was throwing down empty tablets. The Radal is a beautiful shtickle from the Radal. He has diyukim in the psukim like this. Because in Parshas Kisiso, when it refers to the luchas before Moshe Rabbeinu throws them, It always calls them Luchas Ha'edus. Or in Parshas Ekev, when it talks about this story, it consistently calls them Luchas Ha'bris. But when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu throwing them down, it just says Luchas. It doesn't say Luchas Ha'edus, Luchas attached to something, Luchas of the covenant, Luchas of the testimony, whatever. It just says the tablets. What tablets? The empty tablets, because the writing on the tablets just flew away already. And that's the justification for Moshe Rabbeinu being able to throw it.
And they still kept them.
Because that's sort of like, you know, that makes the Gemara, you know, mean a little bit more meaningful. The Gemara says that, how do you know that a zaken that became very, a person who was a Talmud Chacham and he became very old, he forgot all of his learning, you should still give him covered like a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says because the luchis, v'shivrei luchis, were together in the Aron. Mm-hmm. It's like if the luchas in the shivri luchas, the broken luchas, had some of the writing on it, so you could say, okay, look, it has some of the writing on it. It's just a little bit. It's a little bit broken, but it doesn't even have the writing on it. But chlal, imamish, it forgot it. It's, you know, Alzheimer's, a dementia, or whatever. It doesn't remember. It doesn't remember a thing. Still, you should give it covered. But the Radal has a vart over here. Another vart. This is a gishmak one. We just said that when the luchas saw the music and the dancing and the egel, so then it flew off, right? The pasuk doesn't necessarily, you can't necessarily prove that from the pasuk, that's what happened. Well, what does the pasuk say? It says, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayhi kasher korav el machane, when Moshe Rabbeinu approached the machane, the camp, vayayas ha'egel u'mecholos, and he saw the eagle, he saw the calf, and he saw the dancing. And Moshe became angry. He threw from his hands the luchas, etc. Right? Who saw the eagle of Mocheles? It sounds like from the pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. Yeah? Our medrash is saying, no, the writing on the luchas saw the eagle, saw the tupim of Mocheles versus the eagle. The writing saw it. The pasuk sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. What happened over here? Why is the Medrash saying that it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu that saw it? It was the writing on the luchos that saw it. It's like a shtigel doichik to say that in the pesukim, right? So he says, because you have to look at the order. What does it say in the pasuk? It says, "Vayaris ha'egel u'mecholos." He. We don't know who the he is. Right? Is the he referring to the writing, or is the he referring to Moshe Rabbeinu? He saw the egel and the mecholos. Now, what's the mecholos? The mecholos is the dancing, the music, the big. The big brouhaha that was happening over there in the camp. That was the whole big matzav. That was the eagle. The eagle was just a little calf or whatever, right? So if you're coming all the way from the top of the mountain, what are you going to see first? Are you going to see a little eagle that's made out of gold? Or are you going to see a whole big matzav of people singing and dancing and making music or whatever? Which one would you see first? Chara, you would see the people making the music first, right? On the dancing and the everything. Why does it say the pasuk he saw the eagle and the mecholos? It should say he saw the mecholos and the eagle. So, from here, the Radal says that the Medrash understood that we have to be talking about the writing on the luchos seeing it, because if we're talking about a physical seeing. So you're going to see what's bigger first. You're not going to see the smaller thing first. It has to be some sort of like metaphysical seeing. So what's the metaphysical seeing? So it's sort of ruchnitzke seeing, that the ksav and the luchay saw these things happening, and the first thing that it saw was the eagle. Why? Because the eagle was like the makar of the tumah. It was the tumah itself. It was the avodah zarah itself. So that's what it focused on. And then it saw like the outgrowth of that tumah was the mecholos and the tupim and everything else. But you have to know why the Medrash switched the order also. The Medrash says Tupim Mecholos Egel. The Pasuk says Egel and Mecholos. So I don't know exactly how that fits with the Radal's Vart. Al Kapanim, so the Ksav on the Luchos ran away. V'nimtzu Kvedim Al Yidei Moshe. And it comes out that the Luchos were very heavy in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Earlier in the Pasuk it says Ushnei Luchos Ha'edus Biyodei. They're the two tablets of the Luchos Ha'edus were in the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu, biyodoi, in his hand. In one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain holding two luchos. Yeah, and now he's coming down and he sees the eagle and he sees everything that's happening, and it flies away, and the lashon of the pasuk is. Vayishlach miyodov esaluches, from his hands, plural. Even now, two hands can't hold it. Before, one hand was able to hold both. Now, two hands was even too much for him, with two hands, to hold both luches.
Vayishlach is...
Wait, let's see.
That's the right word.
No, it is.
I mean, it is, but it's not. Grammatically, it should be was thrown, but it's by and through.
No, I'm sorry. It says vayashlech, not vayishlach. Vayashlech. Yeah. V'lo yochel Moshe lispeos atzmei ve'es luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to withstand to carry himself and the luchos. It was too much for him. He couldn't hold himself, keep himself up and be able to hold the luchas. So he threw them he threw them from his hands, finished shabar, and they broke. Shema, it says the pasuk, "Vayishaber esam tachas ahar," and he smashed them underneath the mountain. The lashon here is like he couldn't hold himself and the luchas, right? So you could sort of say it's like it was sort of figurative. That like it was too much, it was too much for him, like to hold himself up, and the luchas, he just threw the luchas. That's what it sort of sounds like. But the Radal says, if you want to take it like very literally, it sounds like he himself also fell down the mountain, because like he just didn't have kerch, he didn't have the strength to like hold himself up anymore. He also fell down the mountain, which is an interesting chiddush. But the Radal asked Akasha, this is earlier in the Radal. He asked Akasha. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says different things about a Navi. That a Navi has to be good looking, he has to be rich, he has to be strong, etc. All these different things, different qualities that you need to have for a Navi. And one of the qualities is he has to be strong. And the Gemara says, how do you know a Navi has to be strong? We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to hold the luchas. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to hold the luchas. So obviously the answer is that really, he was strong. He was able to hold the luchas, but at this point, when he saw the Aveda Zara and he became weak, he felt the tsar of Bnei Yisrael, and so he had to throw the luchas down.
It's also right that he was strong, so he was 10 fucking tall, so he could be wrong. And he would put
every day 10 amas tall.
10
fucking tall is like,
Napoleon.
Okay.
He would put up every day all the crushing up there. Mikdash. Of course he was super strong.
Question is, was he literally that big or is it just a douche?
Yeah, it's also, I don't know.
It could be just he had supernatural power, just like he had fun in the wolf.
Actually, I think one of the
It means literally he was 10.
Yeah, I think that either the Gemara itself or one of the Mepharshim of the Gemara asked that question. Why don't we bring a riot from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan every day?
Well, meaning from here that he...
That he was strong.
He should have
but I think maybe they say that was like a clear nace. Because there he didn't really put it up, he just like touched it and like went up by itself or something like that.
And you could also say a riot the other way, that his hands weren't, he wasn't that strong because Aaron and Hur had to hold up his hands, had to help him hold up his hands.
I hear.
So you could say that maybe physically he wasn't so strong, just like you said, he had a special war of Gevur from Hashem.
I hear what you're saying, but it sounds like it's like a prerequisite. To become a Navi, you have to like already be rich and strong and good looking and all these different things.
I guess that the man, the Rambam explains Gibra and Asher, like you should. It says that Gibra is Gabal Yitzhak, that he doesn't have Chal Yitzhak. Imam Shino, he killed his Yitzhak, that's him, it's Gibra.
Okay.
And Asher is Asher, but that's what he
says. So when the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibra from the fact that he held the Luchas, how does that fit in the Rambam's definition?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe the Rambam is saying that in order to become Navi, it's not Ma'akir. Maybe by Moshe was different, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He asked a good question, but that's what it says in the Yigas HaTem, and explains it.
I'll answer you.
Yeah.
The word that he wasn't going to think of women or other stuff, like, and to fill in, you have to have guf naki, you have to be gibor enough not to...
What does that have to do with holding the luchas?
Guf naki, so how
do you think he would not that I was strong physically?
When you're putting on to fill in, you have to not have thoughts of wrong things. So to hear, in order to hold them.
Yeah, I know. That's not push of shot. What do you say?
Maybe he was a keeper, but the luchas were just more than a
keeper. That's probably makes a lot of sense.
Well, you could say the Gemara is a douche,
but
the
was 2050.
Right.
It's an agartha, it's not an aloha.
That's true.
It's a douche. It's trying to explain the spiritual nature that he is so spiritually strong that he's able to hold the luchas. Like he put his hand on, it's like the arm held itself, right? Uzzah got punished, right?
Right.
Why did he get punished? Because the arm doesn't need anybody supporting it, right? Could be Moshe, he just touched luchas and they held themselves up and it looked like he was holding it. And it says he's strong, but it means that he's such a high madrigal that he's able to touch luchas and have it look like he was holding it.
Hey,
how much is Sampurian way?
Right. Okay, so now...
Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't working out in the gym all day, right?
I don't know. Oh, my Moshe... Pashas not, yeah.
And the tribe, I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't. He was from Levi. Omer Moshe la'Aaron. Omer Moshe la'Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, "This is after the, after he destroyed the luchos. He comes down. He sees the whole matter. He assesses the whole situation. He realizes that Aaron built this egel azov. So he says to Aaron, "Me'al siso lo'al hazeh? What did you do to this nation? Parat." Okay, what's like the lashon of the pasuk is. Vayemer Meishel Aaron, me also lecho ha'amaze. What did this nation do to you? But our Medrash said that Meishel Rabbeinu said to Aaron, what did you do to the nation? So Radal says that really, it's what the way it says it in the Medrash, or the Kavanah at least is the way it says it in the Medrash, but the way it says it in the Pasuk of, Kilo, what did the nation do to you, Aaron, is Meishel Rabbeinu's way of saying it to Aaron, criticizing Aaron in a respectful way. Or what did they do to you? I mean, but he meant to say, really, like, what did you do for them? What did you do to them that you created this Avodah Zarah for them? Says the Medrash, Parata isam ki isha pruya miznus. You expose them like a woman who is exposed from znus. That's Lashon the Pasuk. Vaya Moshe es ha'am ki faruahu ki faruya Aaron lishmatza bekamehem. Aaron was ki faruya Aaron. What does it mean, ki faruya Aaron? Aaron was revealed. Exposed. What does it mean that Aaron is exposed? So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying you expose them like a woman who is exposed from znus. What does it mean a woman is exposed from znus? So the halacha is that when you bring a suffix saita to the Beis Hamikdash to drink from the waters of the saita, so you're supposed to reveal her hair and like open a little bit of her clothing, whatever. It's just to be menavel her. It's one of the punishments that a woman who's a saita gets, right? That she gets a little bit exposed. So that's what it means, Pruah Kiznus. So too, Klal Yisrael was going to be punished in a similar way that they're going to be exposed. Their head is going to be exposed. Just like you take off the covering of a Saita, you take her head covering off, right? So too, Klal Yisrael, by the Cheta Ego, so their head covering came off. The Radal quotes the Targum Yonason, but it's also a Pirkei d'Eliezer later on in Perek Mem Zayin. By the Cheta Egel, originally when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, so they got special crowns. And then when they did the Cheta Egel, so Malachim came and took away their crowns. So that's the same thing, it's revealing their head. It's like exposing them, because they had the crown on their head and now it's gone. Right? So it's similar to the way an Isha who's Mizana also gets like her hair is revealed. Omar Loi. So what did Aaron? How did Aaron defend himself? How did he reply to Moshe Rabbeinu? Omar Loi, Aaron said to him, "Ra'isi ma me'osu l'chor. I saw what they did to Chor, to our nephew Chor. They killed him because he didn't participate or he didn't cooperate with their desire to create an avodah zarah. V'ra'isi ha'bimoyed, and I was very scared." The Radal points out, what does it mean I was very scared? I was very scared that they might kill me, therefore I decided that I'm going to have to do some sort of shtick, some sort of trick, in order to get them to not do Avodah Zarah. I can't just straight out give them Musar the way Chur did. Don't read it as Aaron saying, I'm very scared, so therefore I did Avodah Zarah because I was scared. Because that's not true. Because Avodah Zarah is Yehorek Val Yavar. So even if you're scared that they're going to kill you, that's not an excuse to do Avodah Zarah. So he's not saying, I'm scared, that's why I did Avodah Zarah, or that's why I participated in Avodah Zarah. He's saying, I was scared, that's why I started this whole facade as if we were going to do something to do with Avodah Zarah, and it got out of hand. Aaron was trying to like, we'll make some sort of image, and then tomorrow we'll do something with it, you know, hopefully Moshe will be back by then, or something like that. Right, but then they're like, oh, let's worship you right now. And then like the whole thing went out of hand.
So since he was just like how Hanus bird, he didn't think he'll get to the actual
right.
Life, so therefore it wasn't in Yaragal Yaver.
Right.
It was part of the Hechsher of Aaron.
I guess you could say it like that.
It's like Hechsher to Avodizara is like not.
So if Aaron would have done Chur, then they would have stoned the Moshe, right?
Well, if Aaron would have, yeah, Mustama, if
he would have. Who would they look for to be the next leader?
I don't know.
So it wouldn't have, they just do the Avodah Zarah without Aaron's participation, right?
Maybe, I don't know what they would have
come down, and what would he do?
I don't know.
Who would he blame for the evil then?
I don't know. Maybe they would have went to Yeshua. Maybe they would have went
they
to
stoned the Muslims,
Kalev
they
or whatever. I don't know what would have happened.
Like 6 million people getting killed. You know?
Maybe.
So there wouldn't be anybody left.
So you're saying someone had to shtel tzu to them.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know.
It sounds like the Abraham, just like a little group, a few hundred were stronger than all the multitudes of people. Why couldn't the people just finish up the Abraham then?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Where was the best? Where's the Sanhedrin? They couldn't just put to death the Arab?
I
want
to ask
if they're the minority.
I want to ask him this line. I always had the question. It always says, I'm Israel.
Yeah.
And yet, only, I forgot, 24,000 were killed for this?
3,000.
3,000. Only 3,000
were
killed.
We'll see, yeah.
So, wasn't I'm Israel? How could. What does it mean? All of Am Yisrael said Nasa Mishma and all.
Okay, that's a question all over Tanakh, where the pasuk will criticize Klal Yisrael for doing things as if everyone did it and it was really like one person or as a few people. Or you find that because the collective responsibility is different. There's different ideas of the collective responsibility. The leadership is responsible for everyone else. It's different. You know, if you're not Meicha, it's as if you did it. You can apply all these different ideas to that answer. Rabbi Yomi Israel here has a very interesting pshat. I'm not really so comfortable with it, but it is what he says. He wants to say, no. He wants to read it the way the Radal is sort of saying, like, don't read it like this. When Aaron is saying, I saw that they killed Khur, and therefore I was very scared. And therefore I was very scared of what? Right? It's Yarek Val Yavar. So, the way Rabbi Yomi Israel says that, Avodah Zarah is Yehorek Val Yavar, I decided I'm going to participate, I'm going to collaborate with them in creating the Avodah Zarah because I don't want something really bad to happen. Because what will happen, he says that now that they killed Khur, so Khur, he says, was a Navi. If I would argue with them and give them Musar for wanting to make Avodah Zarah, then they would kill me too. Then what would happen is they would have killed a Kayin V'Navi. And if you kill a Kayin V'Navi, B'Mikdash Hashem, it's very bad. Like by the pasuk in Eicha that says that one of the reasons why the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed is imehari b'mikdash Hashem kain v'navi, they killed in the mikdash of Hashem the kain v'navi, and that's referring to the death of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was a kain and a navi, who gave musar to Yoyash, who was trying to make himself into an avodah zara in the Beit Hamikdash, and they stoned him. Was the Targum says that on Shabbos Yom Kippur when he was about to do the Ketores or something like that. So like very dramatic, right? So because they killed a kain v'navi there, that's why the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed. So Rabbi Yomi Israel says that Aaron Kain was trying to avoid that. They already killed the navi. Now if I start arguing with them, they're going to kill the kain also. So therefore, I didn't want that to happen. So I felt that even though it's Yerek Val Yavar, I'm gonna participate with them. I don't know. It's very.
He wasn't a Kohen yet.
Who, Aaron?
Yeah. Maybe it depends on who you're.
It depends how you look at it. Well, Rashi says that when Meish Rabbeinu, by the Sneh. Oh, there's a Rashi over there by the Sneh. The Hashem said, Aaron Achicha HaLevi. Something like, because Meish Rabbeinu was. What's the lashon of Rashi? What does Rashi say over there? Something that because like Moshe Rabbeinu was hesitating by the sneh, so he got an oinish that the kuhuna went to Aaron. What does it say?
I'm that's Rashi. I don't have a question on Rashi, but. According to Rashi, all
psukim. Yeah, Rashi says, "Halay Aaron Achicha Halevi Shaya Asid Liya Is Levi V'Lei Kain V'Akuno Hayise Aimer Latzis Mim Chabeata Loya Kain Ela Hu Yia Kain V'Atal Levi." That's Rashi and Parshas Shmaya, the Parak Dalet, Pasuk Yudalet. That from there, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't want to go alone. He didn't want to go at it alone to speak to Paro. So he wanted Aaron to come with him, so then he got his einish that he lost the kuhuna and the kuhuna went to Aaron instead of him.
Maybe telling like what the miluim was in Kisisa.
The miluim is a year later. What? The miluim is a year later. Not a year, or half a year later, whatever. This is happening, we're talking about Yud Zayin Tammuz, right? Perich. And then afterwards is 40 days getting the Mechila, and then 40 days to get the second Luchas, that's Yom Kippur, right? And then from Yom Kippur they start building the Mishkan, and then they finish the Mishkan around Hanukkah time, but then they only inaugurate the Mishkan at the end of Adar or Nisan, right? So that the Miluim is like a half a year, 9 months later or so.
So it's about when did the Bukhari lose
their status as Bukhari and went to the Kehana? I'm not sure exactly. By the eagle? It could be there are sources that say that it was by the eagle. Because Levi didn't do the eagle. We're going to see in a moment that Levi didn't do the eagle and they did. It could be. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Oimer, kol ha-nesiyim le-nishtatfu b'maisei ha-eagle. All the nesiyim did not participate in the making of the eagle. Shinela says the pasuk ve'atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo yishalach yodei ve'ein atzilei ela ha-nesiyim. It says in the pasuk that Hashem didn't send forth His hand upon the atzilei b'nei Yisrael, and the atzilei b'nei Yisrael is the nesiyim. Okay, exactly how atzilei means nesiyim is the whole thing. I don't want to get into that now, but that's what it says. Mufarshim also point out that this pasuk of atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo yishalach yodei is talking about before Yud Zayin Tammuz. It's talking about originally when they went to Har Sinai, like around Shavuot's time, when they originally got the said Naaseh v'Nishma, not later on when they got the Luch, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchis, which is 40 days later. The Radal and the Marzus basically say Tzorichin on that. L'fikach zochulira is p'nei Hashchina, therefore these Atzilei b'nei Yisrael, the Nesiim, they merited to see the face of the Shechina. Shenema v'yiras es elekei Yisrael, and they saw the God of Israel. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, even Shevet Levi did not participate in the making of the golden calf. Shneimar says the pasuk Vayamid Moshe b'shar machaneh. Moshe stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, Mil Hashem Eli, who is with Hashem, whoever is with Hashem should come to me. Vayayosu Elov Kol B'nei Levi, and all the people of Levi gathered to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Bnei Levi, they didn't participate in the eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the tribe of Levi did not join with the others. Miad nischazek v'nisgaber. So he immediately became strengthened, and he became, he had renewed koyach, because he saw that he has people on his side. It wasn't the entire Bnei Yisrael that did the eagle. He took the golden calf, usrofe v'esh, and he burnt it in a fire. V'chitzei ka'afor ha'aretz, and he smashed it into the dirt of the ground. In the dirt of the ka'afor ha'aretz, he smashed it like the dirt of the ground. Like he smashed it, he pulverized it into little pieces. That's ka'afor ha'aretz. The Radal is a different case of ba'afor ha'aretz. He smashed it into the ground. So the into the ground or like the ground? Like dirt or into dirt? Not clear. I didn't have a chance to look in the manuscripts, but two good stars. V'hishlich es aforo epnei amoyim, and Moshe Rabbeinu threw the dirt of the specks of the golden calf of the gold onto the water. Shneimar, it says pasuk va'yikach es ha'egel asher osu. He took the egel that they made and he put it into the water. But what did he do with that water? V'hayamashkeb liyisrael. And he gave that water to the Jews to drink. Anyone who kissed the eagle with all his heart, he wholeheartedly kissed the golden calf. His lips would miraculously turn into gold. And the people of the tribe of Levi went and would go and kill all the people that had gold lips. Until around 3,000 people, 3,000 Jews were killed from the Bnei Levi that went around killing all these people. The ones with the golden lips. It is an interesting piece I saw once. Gold lips. Yeah, it's a James Bond movie, right? That's a golden eye, golden figure. Al-Kulpanim, what are we saying? I saw once a shtickle in a book from Avigdor Miller. What's his book on Shmoyis called? I don't remember. He has a book on Sefer Shemos. I don't know where he brings this from. I couldn't find this in any of the Mefarshim, but he says it. Cute pshat. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu give them this golden water to drink? The water with the specks of gold in it. So our Medrash says so that their lips would miraculously turn gold if they kissed the eagle. He says a different way. He says that so that afterwards, when they go to the bathroom and they look at what they made when they go to the bathroom, they're going to see little specks of gold in it. And that's going to remind them of the eagle. And they're going to associate doing a Avodah Zarah with going to the bathroom. And you'll see, like, you see, it's not really such a chush of a thing. Oh yeah, that's a different story. We'll get to Balpar later. Be'ezer Hashem, we'll get to Balpar later. But actually, in the next in Perek Mem Zayin, we'll also talk about Balpar. But I'll go put him. So he said, like, you would associate Avodah Zarah with excrement. Like that's the chashivus that you should give Avodah Zarah. That's what Victor Miller said. Yeah, it is Shpitzim. But I couldn't find anyone who says this verse. It's an original verse, I think. Al-Kopon in the Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, it says in the Pasuk, Ulelevi omar tu mechal v'yachal ish chasidecha asher nisisar v'asad r'viv al mim r'viva ha'emer, this is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Levi. Ha'emer, he who says, la'aviv u'li'ima ilo'i receive to his father and his brother, la'aviv u'li'ima to his father and to his mother, lo'i receive, I don't see you. V'asachov lo hikir, and he doesn't recognize his brother, right? V'asachov lo yada, and he doesn't know his sons. Right, because they guarded Hashem's word and they kept to Hashem's covenant. What's that referring to? Rashi in Parshas Vezeis Bracha, Rashi says that it's talking about the fact that the Bnei Levi went out and they killed all the people who were involved in the eagle. Okay, it says Aviv, Imai, Achiv, Banav. Rashi says it's Lav Dafka. It doesn't really mean your immediate family. It just means the people, your fellow Jews. They're like your father, like your brother, like your mother, whatever. They went and they killed out their fellow Jews.
Rashi in this week's parasha,
Bracha
explains, I think, all that. You can't be your father or your mother. They're Levim.
Right. What I'm saying, and the Levim didn't do didn't do the eagle, but it's referring to the other people, the other Jews that did do the eagle. Yeah.
Father of your mother.
Father of because
the mom's son.
That's it's a reference to. Kishamru imrosacha. What's imrosacha? Your imra, your words, your sayings, because they heard directly from Hashem by Matan Torah. They heard lo yielcha lihim achir al ponai. They heard Hashem say it. It's imrosacha. So that was the shevach of Shevet Levi that they carried out this idea of killing, of executing all the people that worship the Avodah Zarah. Some. An interesting thing. The Gemara in Yoma says that people who were megafeif menashek the eagle, they died b'misa b'day shemayim with the magefa. The people who kissed or hugged the eagle, they died misa b'day shemayim from a plague that afflicted them, right? Because when are you chayiv misa for doing a avodah zarah? So there's only two cases you're chayav misa for doing avodah zarah. If you do avodah zarah kedarka with obviously with edim and asra, or if you do avodah zarah that's kein pnim with edim and asra, right? Kein pnim would mean avodahs that you do in the Beis Hamikdash. If you do that for avodah zarah. I think you want to shoot them. You want us out of here or something? Yeah. I should keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Said, Ke'en Pnim is like, you know, if you do, like, let's say, Zrikas Dam or Shchita or something like that, which you do in the base in the Avodah of the Beis Hamikdash, if you do that, L'shem Avodah Zarah, so that's Ke'en Pnim, that's also Yechayv Misa. But kissing or hugging, unless it's Mamish, the derech of that Avodah Zarah, that's how you worship it. You know, you're not chayav mitzvah for kissing and hugging. So the Gemara says that the people that kissed and hugged, they weren't chayav mitzvah. They got mitzvah b'day shemayim. It was a punishment from Hashem. They didn't have a bezin coming out and carrying out, killing them or whatever. Right? But over here, our Medrash says that the people that kissed it, right, we miraculously knew who kissed it because their lips turned gold. And B'nai Levi went and killed those people. But those people aren't really technically chayiv misa according to the halachas that we have of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So Radal says, who did Levi kill? The Medrash says, the Gemara, according to the Gemara, Rashi and Chumash goes like this. Rashi and Chumash says that who did Bnei Levi kill? The people that worshipped Avodah Zarah in a normal way of worshipping Avodah Zarah with Edom and Asura, that's who Levi killed. But our Medrash is saying that no, they killed. The Radal says it was a Hirash Shah. It was a temporary, a temporary dispensation that they should do it this way, even though it's not necessarily a Libah the Hilchasa, that they killed the people. All the people that their lips turned gold, even no Edom, no Hasra, whatever. That's enough. That's what they killed.
Why was
answered
by the
Radal?
What did you say?
The Radal says a Hirasha. Hirasha is a temporary dispensation that you can api nevua. You can do things shalike halacha, only with nevua, only temporarily, etc. Okay. One more ha'ara. The Marzu says that, and the Radal also points this out. The way our Medrash, the order that is that this whole thing is brought down in our Medrash, so Moshe Rabbeinu breaks Luchos, comes down. He speaks. He chastises Aaron for his participation. Right? He breaks the Egel, and then he has the Bnei Levi killing out all the people. And the Psukim has a different order. It says first he broke the Egel and smashed it and fed and gave it over to everyone to drink. Then it says he chastised his iron, and then it says that Bnei Levi went out and killed all the people that were involved. So it's a different order. So which order is the correct order? So the Radal says that the order of the Psukim is the correct order. And the Marzu says that the order in the Medrash is the correct order. And the Psukim is written differently because we're darshaning it to make a drasha. But the way it says it in the Medrash is the right order. So Malikas, Marzu, and the Radal had to put this back together into the Psukim. Okay, now the rest of this. Okay, you can't ask me any questions on the rest of this because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to read what it says. This is Barish. This is like shtickle wild stuff. Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamisha Malachim L'Hashchis is Kol Yisrael. Hashem sent five angels to come and destroy all of Bnei Yisrael. Ve'Elohein, and these are the five angels. Ketzef, Af, Chema, Mashchis, and Choroin. Those are the five angels that Hashem. Well, wait a second. Hopefully, we'll get to all these things. But the names of five angels that Hashem sent to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Shama Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu heard that they're coming to destroy. V'yotzeh likras Avram, Yitzhak, V'yakov. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that these angels are coming to destroy Klal Yisrael, and he went to greet Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yeah. The Radal points out that in the Yalkut and Sefer Tehillim Perek Zayin and Tehillim, when it brings down this Medrash, it says that he went to Maras HaMachpelah to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, which is Shver, because Moshe Rabbeinu never went into Eretz Yisrael. Right? So how can you go to Maras HaMachpelah? But what's more Shver is that they're called, I don't know if it's a Medrash, but it's a Sefer Kabbalah called Sefer Tmuna. Sefer Tmuna says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was buried in Maras HaMachpelah, which is connected to Mefurash Psukim, so you have to know what to do with that. But the point is that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Maras
HaMachpelah. Level was Neshama went to.
Whatever that means. Okay, there's two roots into it. The Mekubalim are trying to figure out what does the Sefer Tmuna mean. But that's what it says in the Sefer Tmuna. But the point is that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to greet Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Whether it means we went to Maras HaMachpelah or somehow his Neshama went to greet them, whatever exactly that means. A different gear, so the Radal wants to say is not likras to greet them, but likroi es to call them. Moshe Rabbeinu went to call Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he's going to enlist their help to get rid of these five angels that Hashem sent to destroy Bnei Yisrael. The Omar, he said to them, Im atem mi bnei ha'olam haba, im du lefanei. Yesh po mashu
v'po.
No. יש פה משהו, איזה אירוע? בפנים, בסדר.
מישנתו?
כן.
מישנתו. עכשיו?
Don't worry, you can catch up to them. So he went to greet Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Ve'amar, he said to him, אם אתם מבני העולם הבא, אם דרו לפני בשעה זאת. If you are people of העולם הבא, it says that to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, then you should come and help us at this moment. שערי בניכם נדנו כציין לטבחו. Because your sons, your children have been given over like sheep to be slaughtered. V'amdu sham lefnei shleishes avos. And Moshe Rabbeinu stood there in front of the three avos. Omar Moshe Lefanov. Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of Hashem, Ribbon Kol Olamim, Master of the Universe, is like, Kach Nishpati Nishpati Le'elu, didn't you swear to these, to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, V'har Beis is Zayam Kechechle Hashemoyim, that you're going to make many their descendants like the stars of the heavens, Shemar, it says, Zuchar Le'Avraham Yitzchak Le'Yaakov, of the Yisrael, sorry, Zuchar Le'Avraham Yitzchak Le'Yisrael. You should remember, U'vizchus Shleishas Ha'ovis, that's the Shleisha Malachim Mi'Yisrael. And so basically, Moshe Rabbeinu davens Hashem that in the schus of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, he should get rid of these five people, these five angels that are coming to destroy Bnei Yisrael. So Medrash says that in the schus of the three of us, so three of those malachim were stopped. Like it said, Ketzef, Af, and Chemo, those are stopped. Finishtai Rushnaim, and two remained. Mashchis and Choroin remained. Omer Lefanov. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu starts to get rid of two more angels. Omer Lefanov Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Master of the Universe. L'man HaShvo Shenishbata Lahem Atzor Mashchis Mishrol. Besides the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, you also have the Shvua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is invoking that Shvua. He's saying in the Zchus of that Shvua, get rid of Mashchis. Stop the Mashchis from Yisrael. Shenemba says, Moshe Shenishbata Lahem, that you swore to them. And the mashchis was stopped. Hashem is mechaper oven. He forgives sins, v'lo yashchis, and he doesn't destroy. So he got rid of mashchis. So now what's left? Just chorin. Yeah. So first he got the zchus of the three of us got rid of the first three. Then the shvua to the three of us got rid of the fourth one. And now we have the fifth one, chorin. How is Moshe going to get rid of chorin? Moshe Rabbeinu also said in front of Hashem, "L'man haShvua sheNishbatu li atzor Chorein miYisrael." Because of the Shvua that you gave to me, the Shvua that Hashem swore to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should get rid of Chorein, the last of those five. Shneimat says the pasuk, "Shuv meChorein apecha," return from the Chorein apecha, from your anger. Chorein apecha is the flaring of your nose, but Chorein is the fifth malach. That was attacking Bnei Yisrael. Shuv meChorein. What's this shvua that Hashem swore to Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rabbi Leo Meisra says somehow Stupsin exactly. I don't really understand how he forces this explanation into the Medrash over here. But he says somehow that shvua that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, somehow that shvua would justify getting rid of Chorein. Not clear exactly how that works. But as the Rav Chaim Falaji points out, why do you have to jump all the way to the Shvuah of not going into Mitzrayim? There was a Shvuah we had in the beginning of our parak last week. Hashem swore to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to do whatever you want. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is invoking that Shvuah. Why do you have to come onto the Shvuah of not going into Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't make any sense, to say the Shvuah of I'll do whatever you want? Right. So by mentioning that Shvuah, Moshe Rabbeinu gets rid of Chorein. Now, this is the really interesting part. Me'asa Moshe, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do after he gets rid of Chorein? Chofar Bo'aretz, he dug in the land, Keves Dira Gedela, like a big dwelling place. Benachos B'nei God, in the inheritance of B'nei God, which is, you know, like in Jordan, in the Eivar Yarden area. Now, I don't know exactly when this happened. The Radal says this is happening later on when Bnei Yisrael gets to the Eivar Yarden area. Because we're talking about, like, until now we were talking about right after Matan Torah. You know, we just like switched and we're talking about something that's happening by the Eivar Yarden. Or maybe it means Moshe Rabbeinu went there and then came back or something. I'm not clear exactly when or why or whatever is happening over here. V'toman Chorein Af Baretz. Moshe Rabbeinu buried Chorein Af. I don't know why it says Af, because it didn't say Af before. But let's say Moshe Rabbeinu buried this malach called Chorein in the land. Ka'adam shu chavush bebeis asurim, like a man who is incarcerated in jail. So Moshe Rabbeinu digs Chorein and puts him down into the grave. Uv'chol zman shehayu Yisrael chaitin, hu ayla ufoya es piv, every time that Bnei Yisrael would do an avera, this malach called Chorein would come up, ufoya es piv, it would spew out of its mouth Kitrugim against Bnei Yisrael, accusations against Bnei Yisrael, Linshef Baruchai, also it's like blow out its wind, also it's a lot, an expression of like it would like, you know, utter Shtusim, whatever, it would say things, Lahashchis Yisrael, would try to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Lufikach nikra shmei pe'or. And that's why the name of this, I assume that what it's trying to say is, the name of this Malach Harayin that was trying to destroy Bnei Yisrael is also called Pe'or. By Moshe Masker Elav as Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu would mention the Hashem of Hashem, Umayridu Lamata L'Oretz, and then automatically Harayin slash Pe'or would go back down in the ground and it wouldn't be able to say any Ketrugim against Bnei Yisrael. Uchashemes Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, Me'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Right, there was nothing to go against this evil koyach of Harayin or Harayin Af. Interestingly, the Radal points out that Moshe in Gematria is equal to Harayin Af. I have to know what to do with that. But so what? Now that Moshe Rabbeinu dies, what's gonna be able to fight against Harayin or Harayin Af? Me'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan is Kivrei Kenegdai. He put the kaver of Moshe Rabbeinu adjacent or opposite the place of where this Harayin slash Pa'or is. Every time an Yisrael would do a sins and it would start spewing with its mouth Linshaif Baruchai and spitting out spirits or whatever, some sort of breath, it would start breathing out things Lahashmid in Yisrael to destroy Yisrael, even though before it said Lahashchis, now it says Lahashmid. Who Raya Kivrei Shel Moshe Kenegdai? This Pa'or slash Harayin would see the kaver of Moshe Rabbeinu opposite it, and it would see Moshe Rabbeinu and be scared and it would go back. Shinema, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayikbar say Vagai Mul Beis Par, and he buried him in the valley across or adjacent to the Beis Par, the temple of Par. Right? In this week's Parsha. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is buried next to Pa'ar, and the Medrash is explaining what's the significance of Moshe Rabbeinu being buried next to Pa'ar, because Pa'ar is something that would be ma'ar a certain kitchug on Klal Yisrael of Harayin, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu being buried with that would sort of abate that kitchug against Klal Yisrael of Harayin. It's a very interesting idea. There's a similar zach that's brought down in the Mukubalim that Rav Chaim Vital is buried in Damascus, in Damascus. Why? So apparently Rav Chaim Vital told one of his Talmidim that the reason why he's going to be buried in Damascus is because there's a certain Avodah Zarah in Damascus called Rimoin. It's mentioned in Psukim by Naaman in Sefer Malachim. After Naaman believes in Hashem, whatever, then he asks Elisha for rishus, that he still has to help his master, the king of Aram, worship Rimon. It's not clear if Rimon is the actual name of the Avodah Zarah. In the academic world, they call it Raman, which is like Miloshin Ram, like high. That's what they call it. The archaeologists, or they call it Raman. It could be that the pasuk is sort of making fun of the Avodah Zarah, calling it Rimon instead of Raman. It could be that it's really called Raman and that whatever. It's an interesting shtickle. But the point is that Rav Chaim Vital says that he's going to be buried in Damascus next to where the klipa or this Avodah Zarah of Rimon is, because then he could be mevatel if koyach after he dies. It's like a similar to Moshe Rabbeinu being buried next to Pa'ar. Now there is a Rabbeinu Bachaye about this in Chumash. Rabbeinu Bachaye talks about Moshe Rabbeinu being connected the koyach of Pa'ar. The only problem is I can't find this Rabbeinu Bachaye. But what I did find is a different Rabbeinu Bachaye in Parshas Vayikra Zebracha. I was trying to look at this tonight, mamish tonight, after Mary. I couldn't find this Rabbeinu Bachaye about the Pa'ar. But I did find the Rabbeinu Bachaye on this pasuk of Vayikra Zebracha Mul Beis Pa'ar, where Rabbeinu Bachaye brings down our Medrash as talking about the fifth Malach not being Harayin but being Chema. And there's other Gemaras that talk about Moshe Rabbeinu getting rid of Chema. There's a Gemara, this over here, is a very interesting sefer, written by Reuven Margolius, the big Goyin. He wrote a sefer called Malachi Elyon, which is an encyclopedia of all the different Malachim that are mentioned in the Sifrei Chazal. So he has all the different Malachim, but one is called, he has an entry, half the sefer is good Malachim and half the sefer is bad Malachim. So by the bad Malachim, he has an entry on Af, which is the first one, which is whatever, one of these five Malachim that we're talking about. And he has a whole rikhus of different places that these different angels are mentioned, Af and Chema and Mechale. And there's other places where there's a Malach called Mechale. Agav, there's another angel called that has the name Af in it. If you're aware of it. This is gonna come up on Simchas Torah if we weren't in Eretz Yisrael. We say in the Tefillas Geshem, we say Af Bri Utas Shem Sar Motor. Af Bri is the name of the Sar in the Shemayim that has to do with rain. It's in charge of rain. Af Bri, that's the name of the Malach. Af Bri. They don't say here in Tzitzal because they start from Elikinu Elikeh Avisenu with just the piyut. They don't say the other things that we in Chutzlitz we say in Shemana Esrei over there. That feels Geshem. But okay, that's Af Bri. So there's other gear stories over here of what happened. One Gersa says, so he Reuven Margolis brings different versions of the story. One Gersa says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem when the last two were left, so he says, you take one and I'll take the other. And so Hashem destroys Af, because it says Kumo Hashem be'apecha, and Moshe Rabbeinu destroys Chema. And there's other gesoyes that, whatever. He brings all kinds of different funny things over here. Whatever. I don't really want to get into it too much. If you want, you can look at that tape for one time. All right, call two.
Oh yeah.